thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word continues to speak to us from generation to generation to generation. And Father, we pray that as we look to your word this day, that you will open our hearts and our minds through the power of your Holy Spirit. Draw us close to you, for we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Please stand in honor of God's word. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This Lenten season, we are going to get fit, spiritually fit, that is, as that is going to be our challenge. On Ash Wednesday, we talked about looking in the mirror and asked, who do you see? Are you becoming more and more like the image of Jesus? And if you weren't here on Ash Wednesday, there are little cards on the back table. You can grab one on your way out. It has a little mirror on it. And you can stick it on your refrigerator with a scripture verse to help us to keep focused on the fact that we need to become more and more like the image of Jesus. As believers in Jesus Christ, we read that the veil is lifted and we can see Jesus clearly in the scriptures. And Paul says that as believers with unveiled faces, we reflect God's glory. It doesn't fade as it did for Moses. And we are continually being transformed into his likeness. Mirrors are important in any gym. How many of you go to a gym? Not too many of you. Okay. Well, looking in a mirror can be kind of frightening prior to any weight loss program to get physically fit. I remember that happening to me when I broke my arm back in 2002, and I was in therapy, and I was pulling down this weight thing, and right across was this full-length mirror, and I looked, and I thought, oh my goodness, you need to do more than work out an arm. And I took the challenge to lose weight, and I did it, But it's true for our spiritual lives as well. Lent's a good time to look in the mirror and take a close, deep look at our lives. And we realize, too, there is some work that needs to be done spiritually. If we want to reflect more and more of Jesus in our lives and be better disciples, oftentimes we need to get our spiritual muscles flexed. And so we will have a series of workouts during Lent. And the first workout today is prayer. A 3-year-old boy went to the grocery store with his mother. And before they entered the grocery store, she said to him, "Now you're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, so don't even ask." She put him in the cart, and he sat in the little child's seat while she wheeled down the aisles. He was doing just fine until they came to the cookie section. He saw the chocolate chip cookies and stood up in the seat and said, "Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "I told you not to even ask. You're not going to get any at all." So he sat back down. They continued down the aisles, but in search for certain items, they ended up back in that cookie aisle. "Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "I told you you can't have any. Now sit down and be quiet." Finally, they were approaching the checkout lane. The little boy sensed that this may be his last chance. So just before they got to in the line, he stood up on the seat of the cart and shouted in his loudest voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" And everybody around him laughed. Some even applauded. And due to the generosity of other shoppers, he left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. The young boy certainly knew about persistence, and he knew about crying out in prayer. Today's scripture certainly gives us the impression of a workout. Jesus tells a parable about a persistent widow. We have a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people. A woman kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." In William Barclay's commentary on Luke, he writes, "The judge was not a Jewish judge, for all ordinary Jewish disputes were taken before the elders and not into the public courts at all. If a matter was taken to arbitration, one man couldn't constitute a court. There were always three judges. This judge in the parable was one of the paid magistrates appointed either by Herod or by the Romans. Such judges were notorious. Unless a plaintiff had influence and money to bribe his way to a verdict, he had not any hope of ever getting his case settled. They were even referred to as robber judges. Widows were the most vulnerable of God's people, and the Old Testament and New Testament insisted that those needy people receive proper care. It's obvious that she does not have the resources of any kind and no hope of getting any justice from this judge. But she has one weapon, and that weapon is persistence. It's interesting that that word translated where it says she exhausted me can actually mean she gave me a black eye. In any case, this widow meant business when she went before that judge, and we can see it in her persistence. And the judge in the end gives her justice. Now, one person has contrasted that parable with what Jesus is trying to say about prayer. The widow was a stranger. We are God's children. The widow did not have access in that culture, but God's children have access to Almighty God. The widow did not have an advocate. We have an advocate. We have a continual intercessor, a high priest named Jesus. The widow had no promises she could claim. We have the promises of God's word that we can claim. The widow had no internal helper. We have the Spirit of God who helps us pray. The widow came to a court of law. We come to a throne of grace. The widow pleaded out of her poverty. We plead from perspective of God's plenty. The judge was unrighteous. God is righteous. The judge could be bribed. God cannot be bribed or argued with. The judge answered for fear of her wearying him. God answers for his glory and for the good. It is this unjust judge who doesn't fear God or care about people who gives this persistent widow justice. How much more will our Heavenly Father, who loves us so very much, give us what we need? Jesus does not want us to become weary in prayer, but we're to be persistent and not give up. If there's one thing that is tough when trying to get physically fit, I would say it's persistence. You don't know how many times you can drive to the gym and sit in your car and think, do I really want to go in there and do this? Do I really want to go work out? I have to admit, there are times when I haven't even gotten out of the car. I thought, well, it's getting kind of late. Maybe I'll just go somewhere else and do something else. One day doesn't matter much, but when one day becomes two, and then three, and then four, and then a week, and 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, and 4 weeks, it's difficult to get back into the swing. Power and strength is depleted actually rather quickly. And how true that is for our spiritual lives as well. We may get weary of persistently praying for something or someone, and we may pull away, and we too lose power and strength. Persistence in prayer is the key. While he was very ill, John Knox, the founder of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland, called to his wife and said, "Read me that scripture where I first cast my anchor." And after he listened to the beautiful prayer of Jesus as recorded in John 17, he seemed to forget about his weakness. He began to pray, interceding earnestly for his fellow men. He pleaded in behalf of people who had been recently converted. And he requested protection of the Lord's servants, many of whom were facing persecution. As John Knox prayed, his spirit went home to be with the Lord. The man of whom Queen Mary had said this, "I fear his prayers more than I do the armies of my enemies." That's an incredible person of prayer. He ministered through prayer until the very moment that God took him home. When we're persistent in prayer, we don't always get what we want in life, but God gives us what we need. And there's a big difference, isn't there? We may think we have this list of how he should order our lives and what he should do and how he should do it, but God knows us more intimately than we even know ourselves. And he knows exactly what we need. And there are several benefits in being persistent in prayer. One is that we realize God's power. Secondly, we realize God's presence. And thirdly, we realize God's peace. James 5:16b says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." The following story is a true story about a worker with the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. While serving at a small field hospital in Africa, he said, "I traveled every 2 weeks by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This requires camping overnight halfway. On one of these trips, I saw two men fighting in the city. One was seriously hurt, so I treated him and witnessed to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I then returned home without incident. Upon arriving in the city several weeks later, I was approached by the man I had treated earlier. He told me he had known that I carried money and medicine. He said, 'Some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing you would camp overnight. We waited for you to go to sleep and planned to kill you and take your money and drugs. Just as we were about to move into your campsite, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards.' The man laughed and said, 'I was certainly all alone out in the jungle campsite.' The young man pressed the point, 'No, sir. I was not the only one to see the guards. My five friends also saw them, and we all counted them. It was because of those guards that we were afraid and left you alone.'" At this point, he was speaking at a church presentation in Michigan, and one of the men in the church stood up and interrupted, and he asked, "Can you tell me the exact date when this happened?" Said, "I thought for a while and recalled the date." The man in the congregation then gave his side of the story. He stated, on that night in Africa, it was day here. I was preparing to play golf. As I put my bags in the car, I felt the Lord leading me to pray for you. In fact, the urging was so great that I called the men of the church together to pray for you. Will all those men who met to pray please stand? The men who had met that day to pray aloud stood, and there were 26 of them. There is tremendous power in prayer. Also, one of the great benefits of being persistent in prayer is that we realize God's presence. James 4, verse 8a says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. A good friend of mine is an orthopedic surgeon, and Steve was in the operating room he was operating on a teenage girl with some shoulder injury, and it was a pretty serious injury. And the only way he knew how to fix this damaged arm would require a very large incision on her. And he said he looked down at her and he thought about his own young daughter, and he thought about this girl going to the prom and getting married and having this big scar on her shoulder. And he said he was trying to figure out what to do, and he hated to do this type of procedure on her. And it was in a Catholic hospital, and every surgery unit in a Catholic hospital has a crucifix on the wall. And he looked at the crucifix, and he prayed to God. And God gave him the answer to use this surgical instrument to go under and kind of flip it up, and it would require a really small incision. He had never done this before, but he did it, and it worked. The girl's parents were so grateful when they heard how Steve experienced the presence of God in that operating room as he turned to the Lord in prayer. The third benefit of being persistent in prayer is that we realize God's peace. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, a wonderful passage. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There have been times when I've been really riled, you know, just anxiety or just upset about something. And there is something wonderful about going to the Lord in prayer. He gives us incredible peace. We can cry out, we can lay it all out there to him, and he gives us incredible peace. And I think about back in 1984 when my father passed away, and I remember being in church in Brentwood in Pittsburgh at my home church, and as I was leaving church, it was the same weekend that he had died, and as I was leaving church, there was an older lady in the back pew, and I'll never forget, she said to me, she goes, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you every night at 9 o'clock. And I looked at her, and I said, that's interesting, because that's when my dad died. And there was just this incredible peace, knowing that this woman was persistently praying for me night after night after night. And I know there's many people here who have lost loved ones, and there is something about the church praying for you through that difficult time. It gives you a sense of peace. Being persistent in prayer, the benefits are really out of this world. Because when we are persistent in prayer, we can sense God's incredible power, we can sense God's incredible presence, and we can sense God's incredible peace that passes all understanding. How persistent are you? Are you flexing those spiritual muscles to come before God at all times, at all places? And as in that children's sermon, there really is no perfect place. Every place is perfect to come before Almighty God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. we praise you for your incredible and wonderful presence that you allow us to come into your throne room and come before you with all the things that weigh heavy upon our hearts and our minds. And you call us to be persistent, not to give up, but to lay it all out there before you. Help us, Lord, to constantly be flexing that spiritual muscle of prayer that gives us incredible power, that gives us incredible peace, and gives us the incredible awareness of your presence with us. Watch over us, Lord. Help us to remain faithful to you. For we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.